welcome to the Lately in PHP podcast. This is episode 57, and my webcam is not working this month. That's a shame. Better for Arthur Sossins, as usual, is here with us to help commenting about the latest events in the PHP world. Hello, Arthur. How are you doing?
Hello. And I will also fill the screen with my face because they can see yours.
Okay, that's good to know. Unfortunately, my webcam refused to work in any computer that I have. It's some bad luck. But anyway, I guess the world is not here to watch my face. It's just to listen to us, to comment about the latest happenings, events, and developments in the PHP world. So we're going to start, as always.
Yeah, we still can watch your screen, right?
I think so. Not that I have tried, but now that you asked, I'm wondering. So let me start with the usual releases of PHP. Okay. I guess you can see my screen now. So first, there are basically maintenance releases for PHP 5.4, in this case 0.38. PHP 5.4 is in security releases mode. I mean, all the bugs that were fixed are related with security. So we've seen several bugs being fixed. Some may or may not affect your PHP environment. So if you are using PHP 5.4, you should take a look at these bugs that were fixed and see if they affect you. It's always good to upgrade if you are using the latest, this PHP release. But if you are worried it may break something, you should always test it for a while, as always. Sure. And for PHP 5.5 and 5.6, there is the 5.5.22 and 5.6.6. These are releases that not only have the security bugs fixed, but also some small enhancements, small bugs that are not related with security too. But overall, I do not see anything really worth commenting as usual. So it's just a heads up for everybody that should upgrade. Sorry?
Yeah, no new feature, just maintenance.
Yeah, well, there are, I don't know if you can call these features, because... yeah, there are general improvements because these are maintenance releases, and I think we'll have at least one of these maintenance releases for all these versions until PHP 7 is released later, hopefully later this year. So given that, let's move on to the series of topics that we cover about the PHP world, namely... proposals and discussions about features, and it seems that February has been quite intense in terms of discussions about things that should be removed from PHP 7, I mean features that were present in past versions, but there are lots of other discussions. The type hinting discussion still goes on, but since we covered it in last month, we're not going back to that because there is not yet a satisfactory decision for many of the people that wanted to have scalar type hinting. So we're going to comment, as I mentioned, about these proposals to remove features. And in this case, we start about this proposal that talks about removing dead or not yet ported extensions and SAPI. SAPIs are sort of extensions that allow PHP to interface with different web servers or environments like the CLI and so on. So this proposal lists lots of, dead SAPIs. SAPIs are, as I mentioned, the interfaces to several web servers. I don't know if it is worth to cover each one of these one by one. Here we see Apache 1.
Yeah,
yes?
Yeah, exactly.
I
just wanted to point out that that's Apache 1 and Apache 2 is still supported, so nothing to worry there.
Yeah, well, there is a mode of Apache 2, which is Apache Filter, which is also being considered as dead. Well, not really dead, but broken. That's what they say. Then there are several others. This is API. I think it's the extension to the Microsoft IIS. But since even Microsoft switched to support fast CGI, I think nobody is concerned about using this API. I think it was not really stable. And apart from that, there is also a list of extensions here below. Some extensions, they are said to be with maintained dependencies, which means that they rely on external libraries that for which the developers are no longer working on them. So they are concerned that somebody discovers security problems and nobody is there to fix them. So they are concerned to keep these extensions. Other than that, there are several database extensions mentioned here below because they were not yet ported. And probably some of them are not going to be ported because nobody is caring about some of these databases. But then there are deprecated extensions that will be removed anyway, like MySQL and the EREG. But this proposal, which has already been voted, it was about to decide which ones will be no longer supported. There are votes for each of them. And most of the proposed extensions to be removed were accepted, except, let me go faster here. Okay, below, I think, mcrypt. The IMAP extension was not accepted to be removed because I think lots of people are still relying on them, so it would be bad. And the same for mcrypt. And mcrypt is, for those that may not be reminded about it, it's an extension that allows you to use cryptography libraries for different purposes. And then the others, they are also accepted. And and this is the final vote that happened until actually this the deadline is today. So
sorry,
you're right. The deadline was 1 month ago. Okay. So with this, what we can conclude is that despite there's people that would like that are, have certain valid concerns about keeping those unmaintained extensions that rely on unmaintained libraries like IMAP and mcrypt, they were not voted to be removed, but the discussions will go on. And this ties to the next topic, which is precisely the discussion about mcrypt. It is considered abandonware because the original developer is no longer working on it. So there are people are still considering either probably to take the library and maintain it inside the PHP project, or provide wrappers around other libraries that implement the same functionality, but the other libraries would be still maintained. And they have been mentioning about OpenSSL. Although OpenSSL is a very different library, I think the work to make it to develop a wrapper around it may not be trivial and requires a qualified developer to do it. Well, I don't know, Artus, do you use or in your projects any of these libraries like mcrypt and the IMAP?
I'm just starting to thinking about it. You mean about all SAPIs or specific ones that you asked?
No. The extensions mcrypt and IMAP.
More probably, I know lots of software that are using it, including I think PHP. My admin uses it. Might be optional, but there was something using. I think it used it right. So that's what probably bothers me most about removing it.
I also have some class libraries that use mcrypt for cryptography purposes, and if it is dropped, obviously it will break, and people that are relying on those libraries either do not upgrade to PHP 7 or will have the functionality that depends on those libraries not being enabled, and that causes a lot of problem. And this is always a problem for when you are about to consider to upgrading to a new major version. There will be lots of people that will not upgrade, at least in the first moment, because it will break many things. I think it happened. I'm sure it happened when PHP 5 was released. Mm-hmm. It has broken lots of things. Sometimes it was not really broken, just warnings that are being issued. I remember in the beginning, the if you use var instead of public, issued a warning. The intention was to encourage developers to migrate, but developers do not want to see warnings, and if their code is not broken, they do not want to fix it, or at least they would need to their employers to justify the time spent on fixing their code. And sometimes employers do not have the budget because it's just fixing code that is working, and they probably rather not upgrade to. And that caused lots of delays in the adoption of PHP 5. So I don't know if there is a plan to avoid those delays, to motivate people to move on, to upgrade to PHP 7, but if nothing happens...
One way would be to still maintain mcrypt, but introduce an alternative, so there would be a time where the user could switch, developers could switch.
Well, for now it is not being removed, because the vote there are not enough votes to take it to another take the measure of removing it from PHP. So
if it is abandoned, then it's just delaying inevitable.
Yes.
Start thinking
for now, if they still have a few months, so they may decide to do one of the two things that I mentioned, which is to provide, take the library and maintain it, or replace it with some alternative. I don't know which one is more difficult. Probably implementing a wrapper is difficult. On the other hand, maintaining the existing library requires somebody that really understands all the code there, all the clutches, and I don't know, because probably it's not that much work. It's just maybe could be just a matter of dealing with eventual security reports and fix them. Fixed any issues? Well, let's see. And okay, moving on with other concerns about the features that may break in the future. There is another discussion here, which is about actually a variable that I was not aware of because I never used it. There is the variable called HTTP response header, which is which contains information when you use stream wrappers to, for instance, use file access functions to retrieve web pages over HTTP using, for instance, file open or file or some other function. You can use this variable to access the response headers of the server. I never use this, and probably I don't know if I would have a need for this, but there is a proposal, a discussion here to remove this variable and use some other function. And the same goes to another message, which variable, which is PHP error message. That is a variable that contains the last error of an operation that failed. For instance, if you try to open a file that does not exist, that PHP error message will contain the error message regarding that failure to open the file. So, but for that function, there is already a function called getLastMessage. But for this one, there is no function. So, well, anyway, the idea is to remove these variables. So, legacy software that relies on these variables will break if it is not maintained. So that there is yet another challenge to people that are considering to upgrade to PHP 7 when it is released. Artus, did you use any of these variables in your programs?
No. If you're using HTTP as a client, I use an extension or a curl or something like that. But I think that even if it's implemented, it would be easy to implement the fix to setting the variable with the provided function.
Yeah.
So
yeah, could be an idea, but still it is some concern for people that want to upgrade and rely on these things that are being discontinued. And moving on with yet another feature that is being removed. Actually, it was already proposed and it was approved, which is the PHP 4 style of constructors. Are those constructors that usually you have a function in the class with the same name of the class, so that becomes the constructor.
Java style.
Yeah. And then later they start using the construct method. And now they think that it is not nice to keep both type of constructors, so it's time to remove them. This is really not an important feature, actually a removal of a feature, but it will upset people that have lots of code that for some reason uses PHP 4 constructors. Probably it was started when they were using PHP 4. And since it worked in PHP 5, they never bothered to change the constructors. So, once again, this is yet another feature that is removed. It was not really important for anything, I think, but just a matter of style. Oh, you don't have two types of constructors to not confuse people or something.
I think actually in the proposal it says that it will emit a deprecated in PHP 7 and will be removed in PHP 8.
Right, yes. But still, even issue warnings and notices is a bit scary for people that want to test if their application works in PHP 7. They see all those warnings and shy away from upgrading. Well, okay.
Kind of a new young developer, and when I started with PHP it already had the 5 version 5. So basically when I see stuff like that, I'm always like, really, you could do that? You could name a constructor as a class? I didn't know.
Yeah. Well, this is only going to affect older code, well probably older than 10 years, but I think even after PHP 5 was released, lots of people continued to use the PHP 5 constructors. I did not find an article, but there was somebody that has written a very upset article that he was very upset with this proposal because it will not add anything and will only bother people that to maintain update code that is not broken. Yeah, and again,
if you look from the point of view of the core team maintaining PHP, it is just another case to check for each constructor, is it defined like PHP 5 or PHP 4,
yeah,
and stuff like that. It's a huge baggage. Even when we were talking about removing dead SAPIs, I noticed one interesting comment about SAPI continuity. No mortal remains of the corresponding server could be found on the internet. So it's supporting such an old web server that it doesn't exist anywhere.
Yeah, and that's true.
It tells a lot about the baggage that PHP was taking from each version to version.
Goes a long way because PHP tried to embrace all sorts of extensions and web servers, and the PHP prevailed and those web servers didn't. Okay, next topic is about not something to be removed but rather to be enabled. Actually, this is a proposal to enable the opcache extension that was introduced in PHP 5.5. And, well, this extension is for having a built-in cache extension that will make PHP code load and start much faster. That was something that PHP always had since PHP 4 days, but they were third parties, and so since they were not distributed by default with PHP, there was no solution for those, for instance, web hosting companies that would install the extensions from the distribution, a Linux distribution that they have. So with this proposal, the idea is to have it finally enabled in PHP 5, PHP 7, because when it was introduced in PHP 5.5, it was not enabled by default. So it was a matter of enabling it. And, I think it is a good idea. I just don't know why it took it so long, because people that will benchmark PHP will consider the default configuration, and the default configuration is not did not have an opcode cache. So I think this is finally a good idea, at least the way I see it. Artus, in your environment, did you use any opcode extension?
Usually, as I have a test server, which is a shared hosting, there are lots of predefined settings that I can really change. So I think they should be enabled because server usually want to preserve as much resources as they want, but I didn't check.
So
the proposal makes sense to enable it by default. I think if it was introduced and it does not provide any downsides, then why not?
Yeah, and my concern with this is that I think they were concerned that when enabling the extension in the past, that probably would cause some bugs to be exposed and probably not work. I think that's, if I remember correctly, that's why they did not add it enabled from the past. But now it's more than time to have it enabled by default.
It's stable now.
Yeah, it should be more than stable after so many years, because this is the Zend opcode extension. They have been developing it for many years, although they have to maintain it on each release. So I think now there is no such concern, not probably having it enabled to cause any problems. So it's good news. Well, for now it is just being a discussion. I did not see an RFC for this. Anyway, I think they're going to move on with it. So moving on to the next topic is one that is probably not so trivial, but there is a proposal here. It is not new, it is from January, but somebody asked in the PHP internals. I think it was Cesar Rodas that actually asked if you load some PHP code from using a stream wrapper, like for instance, FAR or even HTTP, well, although that's not really something that we advise, loading code from remote servers. The question was more about whether the opcode cache would cache the code loaded from those stream handlers, like it happens with when the code is loaded from files. So it seems that is not enabled so far for all stream wrapping, stream wrappers. And the idea is to have a function in the stream wrapper to determine if it could be cached or not. So that this is the proposal here. The proposal is not new, but now that Cesar asked it in the PHP internals list, now I don't know if they are going to actually move on with voting this proposal. But I think it is interesting, although for most developers is probably not something to be concerned.
I love the format of the proposal. Basically, the guy who proposed it, François Lopret, he already created a pull request to the GitHub with all the needed modifications, including far and plain files, his tool handler, and also tests. And basically, it is like, here, I propose this, I implemented it, just get it from me and encourage it. Yeah. So we'll see if things like this pass through or not.
Yeah. Well, I think that's because it is not really a new thing. We have already been 2 months after the proposal was submitted. There was some discussion. I really don't remember this proposal. Maybe I skipped by then, but now that Cesar Rodas mentioned something about stream wrappers and opcode caching, I got back to it. So let's see if this gets voted and approved. The next topic is about a new feature of the PHP engine, which is the abstract syntax tree, which is a result of a step of compilation. And let me share the screen here. Well, the proposal now, well, since now we have an intermediate step which generates an abstract syntax tree, the idea is to have an API to access that tree. I'm not sure if you can manipulate the tree to implement eventual optimizations, but the idea is to have I see here two classes, and one for the PHP parser engine and another for PHP parser node. So I guess the engine is what parses the code, and the node is what results from the parsing the abstract syntax tree. Well, I'm not fully sure about the details of this, but I think the idea, if not now, is probably to provide some way to optimize the code further. Well, I don't know.
Most probable use cases would be one for the parsers and two for quality assurance, like implementing PHP lint or something like that.
Yeah. And, I think this probably is interesting, but I do not have any application for this in my mind. So this is a proposal from Nikita Popov. I think he was the person that introduced the abstract syntax tree step in the PHP engine for PHP 7.
Yeah.
So I think the applications can be interesting, but I'm not the qualified person to comment about them. Okay, and moving on with the next topic is news about Zend development that they have been working, shall I say, secretly? I don't know.
I think everybody knew that they are working on it, but they don't know
the progress,
when,
suspected.
And where, and what. Yeah.
So this is the JIT engine that Zend has been working on. JIT, well, means just in time. In this case, just-in-time compilation, which means that the code, well, at least in theory, the code would be compiled to native machine code right before the first execution of that code. Let's say you have a class with a function. When that function is called, the first time it is called, the code would be compiled to native machine code.
Probably.
Yeah, and optimized and so on. So, last year there was a big discussion because with the PHP NG development that later became what we know the base of PHP 7, there was a big discussion because Dmitry Stogov of Zend announced that he was working on the eventuality of having a JIT engine in PHP.
That's a good name. Zend JIT engine is JIT.
Yeah, it's not JIT, it's JIT. And as I was saying, he mentioned that he was working on tests to make it to introduce a JIT engine to evaluate it if it would be worth the gains of an eventual optimization of the code, and he started also working on other things that are not exactly the JIT engine, and it turned out that they provided great enhancements. So he did is to propose that what he called PHPNG as the base of what we know today is the base of PHP 7. But many months later, like I think it was September is the date of the, I think it's the first pull commit in this GitHub repository that where Zend posted is their JIT engine. So only now they have announced it publicly. So to share it with the community, what are their results? And he said that for now he's not planning to invest effort in development of this JIT engine because PHP 7 is taking all his time. But they decide to share it and say consider it available for academic purposes only at this point. So. For now, it's just to say, we have a JIT engine here, we have some results. Nothing is said as that will be eventually included in PHP 7 or PHP 8 or whatever.
And it's probably disabled by default.
Oh, exactly, like the opcode engine. Now, I think, the fact is that Facebook hack, also a bit on top of HHVM, the EPUB virtual machine, also features a JIT engine. So my guess is that this is somehow to become on par with the HHVM performance enhancements. But there already been some discussions, several people that are very interested on this JIT engines, and they say that it does not always pay to compile the code to native code because the benefits are not good enough, it's not sufficient to justify it. So for now this is just an announcement of their JIT engine being made available, And we don't know if there will be great developments about this in the future. We have to wait and see. I guess they are testing the community to see how they react, because I think there are several people are also working on JIT engines, and I guess Zend is being careful to not upset them. Well, I don't know. That's a guess. That's an opinion. It's not a fact. That's just the way I'm guessing it now. I don't know, Arthur, so what do you think about this?
Yeah, well, the interesting part that they were quite quiet about it, and then they released it, and it's an open source, and I've skimmed through the code, and there are a lot of parts like this one leads to the generation of incorrect code or something like that, and commented out. So yeah, it's really work in progress, and it's probably just a show for the community, as you said, and get some feedback from them and see the reaction.
Yeah. And also, as it was mentioned in the past, the initial idea is to eventually port LLVM JIT engine to what then was called PHPNG, but then it ended up becoming what we know is the base of PHP 7. And, well, okay, let's wait and see what comes out of this. So moving on with the next topic, this time is just to mention an article that I just released about PHP package, the OAuth client, which is very popular because it is used to call APIs using authorization tokens, tokens that the user provides to access the API. And there was a case that the class was not handling very well, which is when you want to check if the user already authorized the token, but if the user did not authorize, do not redirect the user to the authorization page. Just to show, some link to tell the user, oh, click here if you want to access this, allow to access the API now. Because often this class is used to log in certain site using an account, for instance, Facebook or some other site, Google, so some other site. So this is just to comment about a recent enhancement to make this class show a button instead of redirecting the user directly to the page, and also provide some other means to determine if a token that was retrieved in the past is still valid or not. This class is able to renew expired tokens automatically if there is a way to renew expired tokens. For instance, Facebook does not allow renewing expired tokens. You need to call the user again and ask him to go again through the authorization page, so you can get a new refresh token. But there are some APIs, like for instance Google, that allows you to refresh expired tokens automatically. So this class already does that. And if a token is no longer valid because it was revoked by for instance, the user changed the password in Facebook or something like that, and they revoke the tokens, there is no standard way to check if the token is revoked. So the only way you know it was revoked is calling the API, and if it fails, it's probably because the token became invalid for some reason. And this is just for those that are interested in calling APIs. I don't know, Arthur, if you are into have applications that call APIs that use OAuth. I don't know if you have any other comment to add.
Yeah, well, Facebook probably is the most popular one to which I have, but as you described, the problems that really shows, I think, the downsides of the OAuth protocol. But you know, on the other hand, there is no better alternative for now.
Sorry?
But on the other hand, there is no better alternative for now.
Yeah, that's an issue. So people that want to call OAuth APIs and for some reason they need to deal with invalid tokens, they need to have their applications ready to deal with these cases. Well, anyway, now we are going moving on to the final section, which you comment about the Innovation Award nominees and winners, starting with the Innovation Award of JS classes. So we're starting with the winners of December. The nominees of December, they were voted in January, so in February the results come out, so now we can comment. Arthur, which package would you like to comment?
Let me share the screen first. It should be shared, right? Okay, so the one I wanted to comment is the package that's called Observer Pattern, which was developed by Chi Huang from France. And what this package does, it manages the list of observers that observe some changes in another object. When I view the first example, then it did not make any sense to me. I don't know if you see anything, but basically those are some internal classes that they use. But when I ran the example, it actually made quite sense. It generates the list of observers that observe the changes in time class and get updated when it updates. So basically, that's the example of how it runs. I don't know why there are some internal classes that does it, but yes, there are basically the main class is the list that handles all the observers. Okay, so and.
Okay, so
Chi Huang got also 1 year server license. IP to country for this package.
That's good. And on my behalf, I'd like to comment on another package, which is Unidom.js from Joseph from the United States. And he developed a package that provides an abstraction to access DOM elements, but usually the existing APIs, even in the browser, to get DOM elements, they use the exact names of the classes or identifiers. So this package provides a different alternative that allows to use regular expressions. So if you want to match elements that start with some name, you can put a regular expression and search for it in that way.
And so this is like a query selector only with regular expressions.
Exactly. That's a different alternative, and for that it was nominated, and he did not pick a prize actually, because I tried to contact him and so far he did not return. So Joseph, if you are listening to this, please contact back so you can reclaim your prize. So now let's talk about the Innovation Award rankings. This time we are already in 2015, and although we did not talk yet about the nominees of 2015, you can talk already about the rankings. We only had one nominee in January. It was a low month, and so far there is not much more to say than to say that Anders Toth is leading, because nobody else is participating in January, and for that Hungary is leading also the ranking by countries. So that's all we have to say about this ranking for this month. So let's move on with the Innovation Award of PHP classes. And in December there were like 10 nominees. They were nominated in December, then in January there was the vote, and in February the results come out. So let's comment about these packages. Arthur, which ones would you like to start?
Okay. So the first one I wanted to comment is a class named PHP SSH shell script generator developed by Nadir Latif from Pakistan. And basically what this class does, it generates, it takes SSH command from a file and generates like a shells script that could be executed on multiple remote servers, remote computers. So basically you can create one PHP script to control multiple remote servers, update them, restart them with this class. So it's pretty cool, and probably that's why it also won the innovation award. And Nadir got one subscription to the PDF edition of the PHP Architect magazine. And the second one I wanted to comment on is a class that is called PHP Dropbox Backup Uploader, developed by Ettore Moretti from Italy. And well, we all need to manage backups, some of us saving them on the same server, some of them uploading it to others, some of them emailing them. And this class, what it provides is the option to save your backups to your Dropbox folder, which syncs with your computer, and I think that's an awesome option to do that. So, and Ettore got one downloadable ebook of choice by Aureli for this class.
Well, on my behalf, I also would like to comment on a few classes. Let me share the screen here. Well, the first one that I would like to comment is this one from Andre Liechti. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right. He's from Switzerland, and it is called Pure PHP UV Cloud Authentication. But what it does is to check one-time passwords on multiple servers. This is not a trivial matter, but it's related with security, and one-time passwords are used to share tokens that can only be used once, and they allow avoiding replaying attacks like, for instance, you pass a password and somebody stolen that password, but since it can only be used once, it will not work more than the first time. So, it's YubiKeys, I suppose this is a product that generates one-time passwords, and it can check them with a cloud of servers. So for this, Andrea picked one downloadable copy of PHP Ad Professional. And the next package that I wanted to comment is this one from Jacob Fogg, PHP Google Custom Search API, which is basically a response to a recommended package request. Several people, actually a developer, posted a request for a package that could call this API of Google, which is basically programmatic way to perform searches in a way that Google allows it, because there are people that are scraping the search results of Google by crawling their search pages, but that is not acceptable by Google. Sometimes they block the IPs and so on. So the right way to use the Google search is to use this API. Jacob was nominated for that. And he picked one copy of VSPHP, which is an extension for Visual Studio to work more well integrated with PHP. So congratulations to Jacob. So now, finally, we are talking about the ranking of the Innovation Awards. Since we are already considering the nominees of January, we don't have many news to talk about. It's just to say that mostly this is the ranking of the by author is the ranking of practically the same ranking as the packages that were nominated. So it is led by Raskin Veniamin from Russia, and followed by Rafael Rodriguez, that had two packages being nominated, and for that he already got 8 points so far. So there are several others here with less points. We're not going to comment all of them. Just move on to the Innovation Award championship by country, which is led so far by Russia because it's the country of the leader, Raskin Veniamin, then followed by Cuba with 8 points, which are the same points of Rafael Rodriguez from Cuba, as I mentioned. So then the rest are practically the same positions of the other winners. So starting next month, when we have winners of different months scoring in this ranking, let's see how this ranking evolves. So practically we have ended this hangout without my image, unfortunately, but we still have the image of Arthur's. I'd like to thank you, Arthur's, again for coming. And on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
Bye.